Great to be with the coach on another Victory Monday, so to speak. Congratulations on a great win yesterday.
Well, good to be here with you guys. The game was just as tough as we thought it would be. We knew it was going to be just as hard as it could be. Sometimes a wounded animal fights the hardest, and we knew they were going to be a team full of fight, good staff, good players, and it was just as tough as we thought.
Dan, I thought you had a pretty good feel for your team anyway, but did you learn something about them in this experience that you had this week?
I think we did, and I thought that's one of the things I said to the defense at halftime. We had such a tough start to it, and give them the credit. They made the plays and we didn't, and I thought we'd find out a lot about our team in the second half, and we certainly did. We've got some real competitors and guys who just want to get it right. So we had a number of missed tackles defense, I think 9 in the first half, and ended up 2 in the second. So a number of the things were fixed with technique and effort as opposed to just maybe being in the wrong gap and the wrong fit. So it wasn't this wholesale change and new calls and let's pull out a new playbook. It was just the opposite. Let's get right back to playing our style.
You mentioned missed tackles, I think, in your media comments. 9 in the first half. I think said something along the lines, several on that first possession, those first two possessions.
Yeah, the first two of the first three plays, we had 4.
Mm. Wow.
So that was hard, and I think that ended up being 65 rushing yards, in the first three plays. So, that was uncomfortable, just to get started like that. And we're not accustomed to not playing just as tough and physical as we can. And we love tackling. We love demonstrating that. So for us not to do that right off the bat, that didn't feel like how we want to look.
Dan, so much game within the game situations. You go down 14-0. And your offense has got the football, and I think anybody that was pulling for the Falcons at that point said, boy, this is a big drive. And your offense came out, really took the air out of their offense, kept them on the sideline,
yep,
and went that systematic drive to shove the ball in the end zone.
I think when it goes down through it, the third downs, not turning the ball over, and those are the things where the time of possession gets flipped. And that certainly happened in the game where we were able to execute on third down. We just stayed on the field. We either scored or had to kick it. It wasn't like where we were giving the ball a bunch. I think as it went through this week, the teams, there's still one game to play tonight, but
sure,
the teams that were in the plus were 10-1.
Well, we touched on that last week.
Take care of the football now.
We want to talk about it all the time, in terms of make great decisions with it. And when we can give the ball back to the offensive defense, when we do that, we're scoring. I think we have only 4 takeaways, but there's been 3 touchdowns and a kneel. So it's like when we're giving them, this offense with the guys and the weapons that are there, they're going to take advantage of it.
Well, to me, that was the next moment in the game. You talk about the turnovers, the drive at 14-0 where you get back to 14-7. They get up 21-7, and they have the football deep in their own territory. You finally get some pressure on him, flush him out, and Willie Moe makes a play for it to shorten the field.
Yeah, that one I thought, we needed somebody to set it off a little bit defensively. And offensively, Free, I thought, was the one that kind of ignited us offensively, just the toughness, the hard runs that he had. He's such a competitor, and so for William, he's always been one that has just a knack for getting the ball, and it was again that way.
As you move through this game, how much about, and it's interesting to hear because, the topic of the day is everybody wanted to know after the game, they still want to talk about today, adjustments that were made, and really there wasn't anything tremendously
subtle. Yeah, I think it was much
smaller
than you think.
Yeah.
Are we going to take away this route? Where are we going to play it defensively differently? But there wasn't. As you guys know, there's so much that happens on the sideline that, you don't wait till the half for all the adjustments to be made. But the thing that you do is you get together as a whole group. And that's the things that we can talk about, the tackling, in terms of the style that we wanted to play. And I thought we'd find out a lot about our team. Mm-hmm. And what we found out is, man, these guys love playing football together. They want to play tough and physical. And when we can play it like we're capable, we like the results.
And then to that point, you also often talk about connecting to this team and this team connecting with each other.
Right.
This team is, if I can use this the right way, this team's playing beyond its years a little bit in terms of its experience when it comes to that, I'm guessing, right?
Right.
Are you finding that this team may be ahead of schedule as it relates to the mental chemistry, I guess?
I think the team chemistry is such an important part. When you're trying to make just play as well as you can, the team has to be connected. And when you go through tough games and tough moments and battle back for it, you grow stronger and you grow more confident. Mm-hmm. And for us to have opportunities to go through some of the tough games where we just know in this league you're going to have to battle all the way to the end, knowing that we can do that.
I'm going to keep diving you back into the games.
Okay.
I know we're talking philosophy here and stuff like that, and I think it's a huge part of what we're doing. But I thought this game was a microcosm of maybe a season. There was so many things that went on in the game. The little subtle things that you guys were doing on the sidelines, guys stepping up, all that kind of stuff. But another moment in the game was your ability to save your timeouts with only 40 seconds left in the game and get down and get points before the end of the half. And that's where it looked like, I thought, even though you were in a two-minute and maybe they were in a little bit of a shell defensively, although they started to give pressure around midfield, you got some rhythm at that point that you carried over into the second half, and Free was a big part of that.
He was, and just, you know, I think he turned it over to Matt so often in the two-minute, and we spend a lot of time on that, and we did it during OTAs, during camp, and then we do it twice a week in season, two-minute. So we do it every Wednesday and Thursday just to make those situations feel really normal. And we know the importance of having timeouts at the end of halves and the end of the games. So when we have those opportunities, there's 40 seconds and three timeouts, that feels normal for us now. And let's go attack and try and feature our guys in the best way. And so I thought between Kyle and Matt and getting the ball out, you know, we had a chance, you know, going, I know we kicked a field goal, but, you know, had a chance to throw it in the end zone as well. So in 40 seconds to move it down like that, that was a big play.
Well, you're not going
to
pat yourself on the back, but I thought you were brilliant with the way you handled the timeouts, because you saved every ounce of time you could to give yourself an opportunity to get seven, ultimately having to settle for three. But the way you implemented the timeouts was brilliant, I thought.
Well, and Coach Dave spoke as it was going on, and then when you got the Bryant field goal at the close of the half, that was really kind of like the start of your second half momentum.
It was,
in many ways,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
I think the second half, or the finish, began right there, and saying we're not just going to, you know, not be aggressive here just because we hadn't played as well as we're capable of. Mm-hmm. It was just the opposite. Every chance I think that we can get to attack, I want the players to know I believe in them so much. And so here's another example to show that.
It's the Dan Quinn Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking with Coach Dan Quinn. Coming up later on, Devontae Freeman going to join us on our player spotlight. But talking with the head coach right now about the Dallas win, and obviously looking forward in a little bit to Houston. As you get into the second half, and I know having been in some of those locker rooms, and you just mentioned some of the things you're doing are mental, some of the things are real subtle adjustments. They were wearing you out a little bit with the underneath passing game, and you really stepped. It looked like guys, you know, whether it was the linebacker core stepped up and kind of took that easy throw away, and all of a sudden now your front four was able to get pressure on.
And I think that's when it goes hand in hand, you know, between the pressure, the rush, the coverage, and we knew just coming in, we'd have to play better in the run game, you know, for us to give ourselves a chance. And then in the second half, we did that. So we had great confidence in the guys. That didn't change. It was just, let's play it like we're capable of.
It's interesting because the way the game tempo-wise went, you kind of stood in there and took the haymakers early, and you were still standing there.
Yes.
I mean, that says a lot about kind of the moxie of this football team. When you look back at the tape, I guess, last night on the way home, or maybe even today in some further study.
Oh, he saw it all on the phone on the way home.
I did.
Guarantee that.
A couple of times.
What's the one thing you saw in game three that was an improvement from game two?
I would say offensively the run game. And I think it takes all 11 of the guys. So there was some, like Roddy White, he had a great game blocking. And, like, that's an unusual thing to say about a receiver. But, I mean, like, his toughness, his finish, and now the runner can take it all the way outside and then take the ball north-south. So, like, I think that was probably the thing, the tight ends, the line, the fullback, Pat DeMarco, the receivers and the blocking, all 11 guys, Matt, you know, carrying out his fakes. That's what makes the run game come alive. And I think it was the importance of the receivers, the tight ends, as well as the running back, pressing the block and then taking it north-south. But I'd say that's probably the biggest adjustment.
You know, when you got here and you used the terms fast and physical and run and hit, I think people thought it was more defensive-centric. It's turned into be a pretty good statement about where you are offensively because DeMarco and Freeman, they drop hammers on people.
Yeah, and we just knew that was going to be the case with Devontae. And, you know, I know he got banged up, so people didn't get a chance to see him in the preseason, but I think we had a real sense of, you know, what he can do, and it was great to see him demonstrate that kind of toughness for his team. He's so well-respected here by the guys, and for him to battle, it was just like we expect from him.
Well, you could really tell it was a mission game for him. 30 carries, which is a workhorse load for a back his size. Well, he's a lot bigger back than he looks from a stature standpoint. But you mentioned Patrick DeMarco. It looks like he really developed – a rhythm, and I talk about that. A lot of people, they associate with a quarterback, but the run game gets a rhythm as well, doesn't it?
It absolutely does, and especially in this system where there's not a number of different styles, lots of formations and how we use it, but we really are going to try and press it one gap at a time in the run game and then get north-south. And I thought the runners really set up the blocks, you know, the blocker who's already had a hat outside and then could take it. And I thought, you know, for those guys, they've worked really hard over that last few weeks, and for that to come through, I was pleased with that.
Coach, you talk about the offensive line, and obviously it set the tempo for what you did in the run game and really maybe some of the pass game as well. the continuity, the work of that group, Coach Morgan, what he's done. I mean, you've got to be really pleased with the fast development track they've been on.
And I think that connection at that group, that's as important as it gets. And so having a guy who has the veteran experience of Andy, now at Chris Chester as well, this group is really close. You can feel that at practice. You can feel that in the meeting rooms with them. And it'll keep getting stronger and stronger.
Even though you get some veterans up there, Dan, how important was it for them to have some success? And this, you know, because you saw guys blocking. I mean, I think I saw Chris two or three times, Chris Chester, 15 yards downfield blocking guys in a run
game.
Was it important for them?
It means a lot.
Success?
And even in the pass game, you know, go down, pick up the runner, let's go. And that type of downfield blocking, I think, is really what sets it apart. I agree.
Well, as always, each week with Coach Quinn, we have a head coach question of the week. It's brought to you by United BMW. With selection, incredible service, it is the ultimate. Shop the entire new BMW lineup today at United BMW in Gwinnett or Roswell. You can do it online 24/7 at unitedbmw.com. And don't forget, you can submit your question at 929thegame.com/askthecoach. It's a very convenient.
Well, it's a cool opportunity
well,
for
is,
somebody.
Yeah,
get involved.
And the question this week, again, back to halftime adjustments, topic of the day for fans and I think folks around the league. What adjustments were made defensively to be able to slow down the Dallas run game in the second half? And, of course, those numbers are staggering when you start looking at what you were able to hold them to.
Well, I think the real credit has to be given to the players and their mindset collectively to, okay, that was as hard a half as we could have, and then coming back saying, let's stay true to what we're doing and stay the course, play it like we're capable of, and then let's get back in it a little bit at a time. So I think it was really a testament to the players. So the halftime adjustments goes right back to the guys and saying, all right, we're going right back to our style and how well we can play. So I think it was really a matter of them and then just stepping up and playing really good third down defense.
Well, the Cowboys negative 4 yards in the second half.
Yeah, Joseph Randle had 91 yards rushing at halftime. I think he finished the game with 87 yards. That's pretty good to shut the door on him.
That adjustment's from the players, you know, really just getting the mindset to go attack like we like.
And it's not just a certain group. It's everybody defensively, right?
It is. And I think that's one of the fun parts about being a part of this team. Offensively, it's all 11 guys, whether it's the run game and pass protection, throwing it down the field. And then defensively, the coverage, working with the front, when we pressure, how we set edges.
Yeah.
It's really a team effort. And you can play, you know, really well in a game, but you can't win it by yourself. And that's the fun part about being part of this game.
Boy, you got the lead in the fourth quarter. All of a sudden, you got a sense of how many Falcon fans were in Dallas yesterday.
And
huh?
It was great to see our fans travel and to have our back and have the support that we have. It's a really cool feeling, and we can't wait to have the Dome rocking this Sunday. So to have them travel with us and be there, man, did our team appreciate it. It was
a
big time.
For those that didn't get a chance to be in the stadium in Dallas, so what Dan's referring to, and I know you guys are caught up in the game, but Wes and I caught a sense of there was a Let's Go Falcons chant that really resonated in their building. And I don't think we've been doing these games for 13 years. I don't think we've ever seen that. That was pretty cool.
Well, let's let that be a tradition that just started, and let's take our fans right on the road with us. It was great to have them there.
Yeah, it was an amazing environment in the second half as your team was making the comeback. And interesting to see them play with that kind of confidence. I mean both sides of the ball, really, in that second 30 minutes.
There's some great leaders, Wes.
Yeah.
There really is. And all across different positions, guys who just we may not talk about all the time but have a real role on our team.
It's interesting. You mentioned Roddy White in the blocking.
He did a great job.
And here's a guy everybody's talked about, well, is this happening or is something else happening and things like that. But that's all you need to know. If the guy's going to take the initiative, that's how much he wants to win.
Yes, and it totally came through. And part of the reason we ran the ball so well was because of Roddy.
Well,
a big part.
I'll let the fans in on. So I saw Roddy Sunday morning as he was leaving to go to the stadium, get on the bus to go to the stadium. And Roddy looked over at me, and I said, hey, man, go get you one. And he goes, I never run this building. I want to beat the Cowboys. I want to beat the Cowboys in this building. That was all he cared about. He wanted to go beat the Cowboys, and obviously his performance. And he did have a big catch. Unfortunately, it was nullified.
Right.
It was nullified because of an illegal blocking downfield. Big 17-yard catch would have gotten a first down.
He's a really important guy to what we're doing. So he was a real factor in the run game. He really was.
As you look ahead now, you know, Dave joked in the fourth quarter, he's right. Well, you know kind of how you fit in the NFC East at this point. You've gotten three great wins. Now as you change gears and kind of go back to a fourth game, come back home, What's on the agenda a little bit as you move into this season? Because I know it is week to week in that light.
And that's exactly, Wes, what we're going to go back to. We're trying to treat each game as a championship game preparation and mindset. So today was what we call Tell the Truth Monday. We get to the details, we get it done, and then it's done.
Yeah.
That we make all the corrections that we can get with the guys and then put it past, and then all the focus is on to the next approach to see how good we can get this week. And that mindset of a championship game, you know, would you be doing all this if we were playing for a championship this weekend? And so every week our approach is the same, and then when we get into those ones, we don't try to make stuff up as we're going through it.
Well, I love the title. Where'd you get to Tell the Truth Monday?
That one came from Coach Carroll out in Seattle.
Because I've heard Mike Tomlin has the news.
Yeah, just reporting the news.
Right.
So everybody has their own stick to it. And I think it's a good way to get the information out.
Right.
Here's what we did well. Here's what we need to improve on. And then, oh, by the way, that one's done. And that's all our focus goes right back into the week.
Damn, it seems that it resonates within the game as well. I mean, I know when you guys come out here on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever you work, Sunday is the furthest thing from your mind.
Right.
You're trying to win that day.
That's right.
And try to win even late that day. You want to be winning at the end of practice.
Correct.
As well. It resonates in the game because it seems like whether it's in a drive, late in a drive, on third down, you need to win this down.
Yep.
I mean, you had the big sack by Beasley, which was a huge moment in the game for Vic to come up big for you. It just seems to resonate in every moment of the game.
I think how often can you get right back in the present moment? You know, what happened the previous play, that's great, but if you're going to be worried about what happened before or what's about to happen or we haven't scored yet, it's going to take away from what you can do right now. And then all those little moments, you keep stacking them together. How good can I play on this play and then go do it again?
It's interesting the way everything kind of has set up here in these first three games. Home game on a Monday night, you're challenged with a relatively short week in terms of your preparation. Go on the road against a good team, get a win. The one common denominator is you've had to come from behind in the fourth quarter in all three games, and people are starting to mention that. Where does that fit in your scheme and your dynamic of building this team?
Well, I just know in this league there's so many games that come down to the end, so we want to talk about being a good finishing team, both at the end of halves and at the end of games. So much of this game, you know, when you look all around the league, whether it's on the Sunday games, the Thursdays, the Mondays, how often does it come down right to the end? That's how close it is. That's where the competition, you know, is usually at its best. And we just want to be known as a great finishing team, so we're going to try and put ourselves in as many of those situations as we can.
Dan, give the
hopefully not to be behind every week.
Right. I was going to say you don't want that to be the
official.
We can go ahead
and stay in front if we want to. That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be fun too. And that's coming. But here's a Houston team coming in that obviously is an AFC team.
Yep.
Now you see everybody because everybody plays each other. It's not like baseball or anything like that. But it's one of those scenarios where it's not a team you see very often. Give the fan an idea of how, because you got advanced scouts and people that are they're laying down and getting information for you about these guys well in advance. How does that work?
Really, the process begins right now. And so we meet with some of the scouts that do some of the advanced work for us, and that begins tonight. And then as the game plan begins for first and second down tomorrow, we get a real sense of some of the scheme and what they do best and things that they like to feature. And we certainly have our hands full, I mean, especially, you know, both sides. But defensively, you know, they're one of the best third down teams, one of the best red zone teams. Offensively, they're like us. They possess the ball.
Yeah.
They have good run game. They complete ball. So it's going to be a real test for us for sure.
When you look at seeing a 3-4 there, they're a different kind of 3-4. They got guys, they'll line them up all over the place, right?
Yeah, and the pressures where they come from different angles and different spots. So a unique package for sure. Romeo Crennel, who's, you know, been a veteran coach in this league for a long time and, you know, can pretty much call it any way he wants. He's that kind of, you know, system. But then they have some real guys they like to feature.
Well, they certainly have burned some draft picks on that side of the ball to try to get some people on the field. And obviously everybody knows who number 99 is, J.J. Watt. In your experience with him, maybe give the fan an idea. Is there something special you have to do with a guy like that to try to control him as best you can?
Well, I think you better know where – when you have a featured guy like him, it's you better know where he's at and have to account for that and really play really good technique. And that's really what comes up when you know – it's one of the best parts about coaching the NFL. There's all sorts of guys that, as a defensive coach, it's a tight end, a back, a quarterback, a running back. Defensively, it's an outside backer. In JJ's case, a guy who can play anywhere from over the nose to out to outside the tight end. You know, great cornerbacks, this safety, a great tackler. You know, we have it in our own division. You know, Carolina, Kuechly, how many tackles does he make a week?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like every week there's all these great challenges, and it's honestly one of the best parts about coaching this league.
So it really does come down sometimes to the matchup. Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it.
You hear about team versus team or offense versus defense, but the matchup within the game, And I think people sometimes write that off as just kind of coach speak, but there is the literal truth of it.
And it totally is. And the more you talk to the players, they know who they're playing against. And that's what oftentimes players can do, especially the big guys, linemen, look exactly who the guy they're playing is. They're not as, you know, the nose tackle's not as concerned about the formations outside.
Yeah.
But what does this player do specifically that I need to do to be at my best?
I want to ask you about one of the guys you were asked about in the press today, and you started down to answer the question about Julio Jones in this respect. And I think people have seen this performance on the field through the first three ball games. And Dave and I have been fortunate to see, you know, him as a pro and occasionally as a college player. But you mentioned the competitive nature of
right.
Julio Jones. And some of that, I think, people ought to understand, maybe go back to training camp.
Yep.
He wanted to be at training camp. There was this outlying issue about his future here. Mr. Blank said it was going to be taken care of. I think you addressed it as, hey, look, it's something we're going to get to. Julio Jones wanted to be a part of this football team from jump. He didn't want to be one of those guys that had a lingering issue out there that was going to be a distraction, right?
Nope.
Does that speak to the competitive side of
it
him?
It totally does. I think going against him, you knew this guy's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't know is how locked in he is, how competitive he is, how tough he is, until you're around somebody every day. And so he has not just the rare physical talent, but he's also got the mental side of the game. And then you put those two things together, and that's what comes out. And, man, is it good to see him battle. And it's not just like,
sure,
I'm going to save it for the game.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that way at all. Like, when he steps out in the field ready to perform, it's at practice, it's at walkthrough, it's at training camp. He loves to battle.
Well, there's a couple things I want to ask you about him, but it's more about what people try to do to him or how Kyle uses him. But the first question is, Dallas tried a number of ways to keep him from getting the football, and obviously 12 for 164 and two touchdowns says they didn't do a very good job of it. But the safety over the top, up, bump, and run, kind of sliding linebackers out to try to collision him as he came off the ball.
Yep.
I mean, amazing his ability to adjust all that.
And I think that's a real testament to him. And because think about, you know, the teams that run the option, not quite sure how you're going to defend them this week.
Right.
And so I think as it goes through the game, these are some of the things that they're going to try to do.
Well, and then Kyle, the way Kyle used him and the way he moved him, you guys are brilliant with that.
I think that's a real part of it, you know. And also for him to know he's bright enough, play this position, this position, this position, this route I do this position I do this. So that tells a lot about the preparation that he puts in as well.
All right, just for fun, now we saw that one play where he lined up at kind of the tailback spot and was given –
Yeah, Wes wants you to pitch him the ball.
Come on now, right? One time, right? Just between us, right?
Just between us. We can't put that out there on the scouting report. Of course he's going to get it on the pitch. Of course he is. It might happen this week.
Yeah.
The problem is now Robbio Cornell is grinding.
Yeah,
and how do I defend him out of the I formation?
Well, I've been around enough coaches to know they'll do something like that one time because that means somebody will have to prepare for
That's
it, too.
Exactly right.
When you speak to the competitive thing, have you coached somebody defensively like him? And I'm thinking of the guys you had in Seattle, maybe in Miami, maybe at – other levels of play,
yeah,
that is like him?
There's certainly some guys that have the same mindset, although maybe some of them have been at different positions.
Sure.
During my time at San Francisco, Bryant Young was as competitive a defensive lineman as you could get.
That's an Archer favorite from way back there.
Just, he has the same mindset as when he stepped out on the practice field, you know, you had to deal with him. And he was locked in and ready to go. Jason Taylor was certainly that way, you know, during my time at Miami. Just in the two-minute drills, he'd try to wreck practice, you know, where he was just going to get the quarterback every time. Sack, you'd hear him yell, sack, sack. You know, and I remember, you know, the team would keep coming down the field, and he wanted to acknowledge, I got him right here. During the time in Seattle, we had a number of guys that stood out. But from a mindset standpoint, you know, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas were two that had, you know, the mindset of being locked in and able to stay focused for really long periods of time. And that's one of the things with Julio. When you watch him in the meeting, he's staring right at it. He doesn't waver, so it carries over from the field into the meeting room. He's one of the most locked-in guys I've been around.
Well, the beauty of it is that all those guys that are in the locker room with him, there's a lot more that are like Julio in that locker room,
sure,
but there's a whole bunch of them that are watching Julio do his business, and you can bet it's going down to them.
That's right.
Yeah. Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate your time. Look forward to being at the Georgia Dome on Sunday, huh?
All right, let's get it loud.
All right, that's Dan Quinn joining us every Monday, of course, on the Dan Quinn Coaches Radio Show. Stay tuned when we come back. Devontae Freeman joins us in the Player Spotlight when we continue with more from Flowery Branch on a Victory Monday for the Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.